Hello, my name's Robin.
Hello, my name's Yelmer.
We are two dickheads with a podcast. Welcome.
Well, speak for yourself.
I always do.
What you can hear there is Robin has already started drinking before the podcast.
Oh, naturally, I've poured myself a Cuba Libre. Brilliant drink, the drink of freedom, of Cuban independence. Just a drink you need when you start out a new venture, like the Renegade's Guide to... dot, dot, dot.
And this week, it's a Renegade's Guide to...
That's like the shittest drums. The shittest drum in Oh,
wait, I completely forgot I've got a drum pad. Why didn't I use the drum pad?
Jesus Christ, this is like the...
Okay, Renegade, welcome to... Okay, you go. Welcome to a Renegade's Guide to... And I go...
Okay, welcome to a Renegade's Guide to...
Trashy Magazines!
Yay. No one's yaying.
I thought you'd like you yaying.
Okay.
Is that even a verb? Yaying?
I don't know, actually. You know, I've got to check the dictionary. Check Google. Google have all the answers.
Really, it's like 1 minute in, we've already got off tension.
Oh yeah, we already got off. I think this is an omen of things to come. We'll never stay on topic.
So this is the Renegade's Guide 2, and we'll be looking at two trashy magazines, Chat and Take a Break.
Yay.
We've both had a look at both those magazines. We've got a couple of stories we're going to look at this week. So very peculiar stories. One involving a painting, but a very old painting, I found.
Before we go into all that, Yelmer... Tell me the story of how you picked it up.
Oh, yeah, this has been strange. So I was at the supermarket yesterday trying to get one of those magazines because Rom said, you know, let's have a look at those magazines for the first podcast. I was like, okay, sure, fair enough. And I was fine with it, but I'm not the person that would read these kinds of magazines. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. I just won't read them because it's not my cup of tea. So I was at the supermarket, standing at the magazine stands in the aisle. And then there was a man passing by. I could see him like in the corner of my eye, and I was like sort of pretending I was trying to find a different kind of magazine. So I was sort of going up and down the magazine, the magazine. So like, oh yeah, yeah.
He's at the opposite end. Yeah, looking at Sue.
I was sort of pointing at him, sort of, you know, when you sort of close your eyes, sort of like, oh yeah, so half open your eyes, go like, oh yeah, no. Pretending like you make sort of a little play out of it. So I was like, oh yeah, no, it's not that. And then he was sort of gone from the aisle, and then I quickly grabbed the magazines. And
as soon as he gone, just grabbed it, ran. Let's run.
I was that embarrassed that I put them upside down in my shopping trolley. I put some of my shopping over the magazines because I wanted to hide them. I was like, this is just stupid that I'm doing. It's just magazines.
I did exactly the same thing.
And then I was trying to come up with an excuse in case the shopping assistant, you know, customer service assistant, would ask me if I got the magazines for myself or for my girlfriend. So I was like, already preparing a story in my head. So what do I say? Like, yeah, for my girlfriend. Like, in case she was going to look at me sort of strangely. And I didn't pick out a girl sort of around my age, so that was like a student. I picked out like an older woman because I thought, well, she would probably... because I was hoping that she would not ask a question about me getting the magazine.
I just love the mental process here. You're not getting it for a girlfriend. It must be an older woman, so therefore it must be a mother or an auntie or an older sister. Please push it, unless you're dating a cougar, which is, you know, each your own, mate.
Yeah, no.
Oh, God. But you know, the dumb thing is, when I was walking back, I was sort of in my head working out what I'm going to do if I get stopped by the police.
Why would you get stopped by the police?
Don't know reason why I'd be stopped by the police. I don't know. This is just the way my mind works. And I was just thinking, if I was stopped by the police, I think I'm just going to tell them I got crack. Just just get arrested and deal with it so they don't look for my bag and find the magazines.
What is it? Were you hiding it under your jacket then, the magazines?
No, it was right at the bottom.
Okay.
He's right at the bottom, between the bread and the milk. I didn't want anyone to see them whatsoever. So I think maybe we need to address this. So why are we so? What is it about these magazines that made us all say, you know, we want to investigate further? Because they sell a lot. I mean, you walk into a supermarket and they've got an eye, you've got Chat, you've got Take a Break, you have Hello, Closer.
You know all of the names.
Oh, there's so many more.
I think, because I got mine yesterday, but I think you've got, like, I saw this one time that they have, like, different types of Take a Break. They had, like, a special issue of Take a Break.
Take a break on Christmas. Take a break on summer. Take a break on Easter. Take a break on your gin. I don't know. It gives a fuck.
Oh, yeah, what we found out as well is that there always seems to be a woman on the cover of these magazines.
Yes, this is what the absolutely bizarre thing. For some reason, they have an attractive woman on the cover, and they don't make an appearance whatsoever in the rest of the magazine. It's just on the cover alone.
I don't know, maybe they reflect the readers of the magazine, I don't know.
I think that's a too optimistic view of their readers, to be honest.
Well, yeah, that's the same. Did you have a look at the ads in there?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the advertisements.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's completely another crap. I mean, most of the stuff is like Universal Channel. So I'm just looking for all the bloody ads now.
Yeah, there's Universal Channel, and then there's
tampons.
One from Olay Anti Wrinkle.
I mean, it's very clear who they're trying to market to. They're trying to aim this at women, not 30s plus, yeah. That sort of age range.
Yeah, and then sensitive bladder? ? So what? Dance all you want.
Just piss yourself
always.
In the club.
Always. Up to 40% thinner. Absorbs 2 times more than you may need. Huh? Okay. Absorbs 2 times more than you may need. Okay.
Can I point out?
Always discreet liners and pads.
I don't know. Maybe this is like a male thing, but if I need to go to the toilet, I go to the fucking toilet.
No, but this is if you're on your period, of course.
I don't know.
Always.
You said sensitive bladder.
Yeah, that's what it said. That's what it said on the advert for always discreet liners and pads.
Unless that's really crappy code.
And it said sensitive bladder ? So what? Dance all you want. And a new always for sensitive bladder für Blasenwäsche. That's German. Blasenschwäche.
Blasenschwäche.
Or in French, pour 8 urinaires. Anyway,
I just love the fact that I'm just looking at chat right now, right on the cover. You already know that this is a piece of work that is going to encompass all of life and all its experience, Yama. By simply saying life, death, prizes.
Oh, yeah! I don't know why it says that. Life,
I mean,
death,
fucking hell, what is this, War and Peace? Yeah. It's going to encompass all of the human condition in these crappy pages.
There's on my issue of chat, there's like the top left corner of the cover, there's like a horse and a dog, and the dog is staring at the horse and saying, there's like a balloon, the dog saying, I do all the talking because he's a little horse.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I want to know who writes this stuff. I really do want to know who writes this stuff.
They don't actually have an editor. They don't have, like, you know, most magazines have, like, a column of the editor. I don't think this magazine has... Oh, yeah, there is, actually. This is the editor of chat, Jilly Sinclair.
Jilly Sinclair, we want you for an interview because Jesus Christ.
It's a very short column, by the way. Welcome to my week. What I loved, our new website... What hacked me off? Dropping a watermelon on the kitchen floor. What made me laugh? Reading about a spider bite that gave a bloke a 4-hour erection.
What?
I said spiders weren't bad enough. ...
What kind of weird, sexy spider is this?
And then it says, hope nothing stands in your way this week. Okay, shall we start with some stories?
Let's start with chat. Yeah, you can... Let's the Dutchman start.
This is a story about a painting.
So what kind of story is this, Yelmer?
Well, this is called Tales of the Unexplained. Yeah, cue the music. Curse of the Crying Boy.
The Curse of the Crying Boy.
And there's a photograph of a crying boy, obviously, of a crying boy painting. All right, should I start reading the story?
Sub-headline. Victim of Jimmy Savile.
Who's this unhappy child, and is this painting of him cursed? Why did it make you laugh?
And it's lovely, you didn't even acknowledge that. It's just like, moving on.
Okay. I feel I have to read this in a particular way.
I think I drank too much already.
Okay.
I'll start reading the article, yeah? I'll do it in my,
You're spending more time
The detective novel.
You imagine an office, smoky room.
There we go.
Yama's sitting there, his sleeves are rolled up, smoking a cigarette. It's been a hard day.
I'll smoke cigars then.
Then suddenly, there's a knock on the door. Then a crack of light appears. Thank you for the sound effects.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. And then walked in a woman with two long legs. And from the moment he saw it, he knew she was trouble.
Shut up! I'm trying to... read out the article!
And then she started.
Shut up! You annoying Englishman.
Race card.
Well, yeah, right. One evening in September 1985, a fire ravaged a small home in a town just outside Rotherham, South Yorkshire. May and Ron Hall both got out alive, but their beloved home was destroyed. The downstairs rooms badly damaged and blackened with the soot and smoke. The fire service quickly established the cause of the blaze, a chip pan in the kitchen. But they also discovered something else. Everything in the downstairs of May and Ron's home was burned almost beyond recognition, except for one thing, a painting hanging on the wall. It depicted a little boy in old-fashioned clothes, a sad look in his eyes, and a big tear rolling down one of his chubby cheeks. The print of the crying boy had escaped any damage at all, and it wasn't the first time the print of a painting like it had survived a fire. The local fire service station officer told journalists he knew of other house fires where prints featuring a crying boy had survived intact and unscorched. It was a story the newspapers at the time leapt on. Tears for Fears, the portrait that fireman claim is cursed, screamed one headline. And suddenly, news desks across the country were swamped with calls from people with similar stories. People who'd suffered house fires and lost all their possessions, but who'd found their print of the crying boy in pristine condition among the ashes.
No way.
Yeah, I know.
Way. I mean, obviously, you know, the first word that sort of screams out here, it's just the way it's written.
I like it that there's no actual writer of this article.
They're so ashamed of it.
No, I was going to say, you should be very proud that you've done all of your, you know, investigative journalism, of course, trying to find out about these crying boy paintings. But no, none whatsoever.
There's no sort of link, there's no sort of thing. I saw one photograph and it had a picture of a crying boy, then another one, then another one, then another one. It became very obvious very quickly that they had one thing in common. They all had a picture of a crying boy.
Moving on, all the paintings showed a small boy in tears, and all of them were signed by the same artist, G. Bragolin.
Because we all know who Jane Bragolin is. One of the most famous artists whatsoever.
Yeah, very famous artist, G. Bragolin.
Always in the Tate.
But not all the paintings were the same, Robin.
No.
It seemed G. Bragolin had painted many versions, many different crying boys.
Oh my god, he paints multiple painting like every fucking painter ever did.
These had become hugely popular in the 1970s and early 1980s.
Well, as always say, the 80s were a dark age for culture.
Isn't that why Jimmy Savile was on television?
Oh my god, I was right.
These had become... A gas heater left too close to a bed. An oven. A chip pan. But for many, it was too much of a coincidence that these fires were starting in homes where a crying boy painting hung on the wall.
Right, so basically the hacking question here has essentially undercut the entire story with that one sentence. Leave a mystery. I don't want to give a damn. You explain the entire thing. The fires happened because the people were fucking idiots who left the chip pan on.
Some believe the painting attracted poltergeist activity. Others claimed the spirit of a naughty boy was trapped inside each image somehow. And then stories about the artist himself began to surface.
Though it couldn't be verified, it was a convincing tale for many captivated by the crying boy curse. Rumours spread that Gene Bragolin had been a Spanish artist. His real name was... artist and had worked on many paintings. But the public had gone mad for his crying boys. The demand for them was so high, he kept churning them out.
Which is why he signed his crying boy paintings with G. Breglin. He'd wanted his other works of art to be taken seriously under his own name. Bruno died aged 73 in 1981, and Antonio could shed no light on the curse or offer any explanation for it. These days, crying boy prints of G. Breglin fetch a lot when sold on sites like eBay, and plenty of people scoff at the claims of a curse. Still, would you ever hang one on your wall?
No. I have taste. I mean, it's such a bizarre story to begin with, because normally with these sort of things, they're not sort of like spooky stories. You kind of want it to linger with you a little bit. It's not to scare. The way I think about it, it's like a ham. It's like a McDonald's burger or fast food chain insert there. It's satisfying, but it won't last. So you want a sort of bit of a spooky story, you want a little bit off an end, and it's normally something like, and they will never soar again. But with that, it was just sort of like, well, it actually turns out that it was all pretty normal on the board. He was an ordinary artist, and he just wanted to make some more money, and it just went very popular, and it's all a bit sort of normal. Yeah, it's so anticlimactic.
It's anticlimactic, that's where it ends. And then it just ends with the question still, so? Would you ever hang one on your wall? That's it.
That's it. It's just...
That's it. All there is to the story.
That's the problem. It had a good beginning. There was something interesting going on there. It just sort of petered out.
Yeah, it was building up. People, you know, fires in homes. Well,
it was all foreplay, no orgasm. That's the problem.
Robin, do you ever feel the need that you have to
no.
write to someone if you have any problems?
My life is not that fucked up.
Oh, okay.
I can lie for you. Yes, Yelma, I struggle with my own very inner mortality all the time. My moral conscience is so screwed that every now and again I need to go to a random stranger in a magazine to get to fix my moral compass.
Or you know, like you need like a pen pal, you know, someone to write to talk about your issues in life or what you do in life. You sort of, you know, write things, I suppose in Dutch you'd say, so write things off, you know, so sort of empty your chest or...
Oh, so I'm burning
off your chest. Yeah, burdens. Yeah, exactly. Well, Chad has a solution to that. And that solution is called... Are you ready? Meet... In brackets, great. Auntie Ingrid.
Auntie Ingrid, oh God.
Ask her anything. She takes no prisoners.
Auntie Ingrid sounds like the aunt you don't want to stay with every time your parents go on holiday.
So, what do you think... Auntie
I don't
Ingrid
want to
looks
say
like.
Auntie Ingrid, she pulls yeah. acid in her eyes.
Oh, that's cruel. No, but what do you think Auntie Ingrid looks like?
I don't want to stay with Auntie Ingrid.
I don't like, yeah, because
Uncle
Bobby. By the way, we do not talk about the Auntie Ingrid in question on page. Anyway, right, Robin. The headline for this question to Auntie Ingrid says, "Great Auntie Ingrid. Say knickers to my mate." The question goes as follows. I got a bitchy birthday present from a friend last month.
Like, that is a bitchy birthday present.
A pack of see-through... Oh, sorry, no, wait. What do you think the present is? The birthday present.
A bitchy present. Is it a dress three sizes too big?
No.
There you go, fatty. Is it like a slimming DVD?
No, it's not.
Weight loss book?
Nope.
Diet plan.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to think of really bitchy things to send someone.
What is the weirdest gift you've ever had, actually, a birthday present you've had?
I can't think of one, actually.
No?
Everything's been pretty
By the
normal.
Way, if you're listening and you've got like, you have like an example of the weirdest birthday present you've ever had,
leave it in the comment section.
Yeah, leave it in the comment section. Let us know.
I can't think of anything. All my presents have been rather normal, really. How about you?
I had one time, but this was just sort of a piss take for my... I can't remember what birthday it was. It was my 16th birthday. I got like a Justin Bieber CD from friends of mine.
Oh, God.
A sort of piss take. I was like, is this serious? Okay, yeah.
They might as well left the left the horse's head in your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I got something else which I can't remember. I probably threw it away, but I liked it because it was a joke. But it was okay. Okay, the birthday present, the person who wrote
the bitchy birthday
letter
present.
Or sending the question.
You got to get that fact.
Was
in. The bitchy birthday? Present.
The bitchy birthday present.
Because it was so bitchy.
A pack.
I mean, she was such a bitch.
A pack of see-through thongs.
I don't see what's so bitchy.
Her card said,
"Tacky, but not bitchy."
Her card said, "For the toy boy to enjoy."
Oh, I see. Oh, she's calling her a slut.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's implying that she's a slut. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what we learned? This friend is a fucking asshole.
I'm fuming. I hate my big bum and always sit with my back to the wall when I'm with him. I should have never confided in her about him as I'm married. Do I send them back? It's from Sabine, 37. And this is the answer from Auntie Ingrid. Honey, drop those knickers in the bin. Why so defensive about such a little thing? Feeling guilty about your younger current plus one? Maybe your mate just reckons her gift would make you laugh, as girlfriends do, sharing secrets. Maybe your mate just reckons her gift would make you laugh, as girlfriends do, sharing sexy secrets. Toy boys pass. Save the friendship. Tell your friend nicely that the naughty undies were too small, but thanks for the gesture. And leave it there. You might well laugh about it later.
I literally have no response. I guess it's kind of logic, yeah. Just get on with it. Alright, fair enough. Chat Health. They do a bit called Ask Your Doctor. It's a advice column, but this time it's like Embarrassing Bodies edition. And they have Chance, Dr. Martin Everard, the family GP, who doesn't look like a paedophile whatsoever. I mean, you have this amazing story. I mean, Claire, 26, probably not your real name. But question, I hate my belly button. It's huge and deep. It's like a big hole. I dare not even take off my top at the beach. What can I do? What do you think is the answer to this medical issue?
Surgery.
Surgery? All right, surgery, that's your bet. Surgery, you need surgery, Claire, to fix this up. And if you're overweight, your belly button looks deeper, so try to lose any excess pounds. So basically, you're just a fat git. So you have that. So that's how you'd... You need to lose weight or go for an operation to, or liposuction, that sort of stuff. Then you have vagina weights.
What?
That is such an epic title.
Weight or weight? As in waiting weight or weight as in...
Weight, as in heavy.
Heavy.
I need to build up my pelvic floor. Where can I find vagina weights that aren't sex toys?
What?
What the fuck is this?
Sorry, can you say that again?
I feel a bit embarrassed actually reading this out. Right. Okay, so Andrea, 37. So you're named and shamed. I need to build up my pelvic floor. Where can I find...
What is that?
I don't know.
What does that mean? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Floor. I don't know. I'm not going to Google that because I
if you're a woman and if you're listening to this podcast, please send us a comment explaining what a pelvic floor is. Because clearly we don't know. Okay, and since you want to know where she can find vagina weights, which is such a...
Wait, huh?
You know what, fuck it. How does that... I don't care what the NSS say. I'm looking it up. All I'm saying, I'm deleting my history.
As long as you're not logged into Google.
Oh, fuck. Incognito. I'm kind of terrified to see what will come up now. Oh, so Kegel exercises.
Oh my god, I worked out how it used. Okay. Explain to me what it looks like, because I don't have a picture in front of me, of course.
It essentially looked like a bunch of weights on a string.
So how would you implement this this thing into... Well, we know into what...
Oh, don't make me say it. Well, I think first you insert said weight in vagina, then I think you lift it up. I think that's how it works. I don't...
How?
I don't know.
There's no instruction manual.
You know, there's... Huffington Post article.
Seriously.
10 reasons to lift weights with your vagina. Oh my god, there's a video. I'm sending you the video. Oh, it's a YouTube video. I'm sending this to you. This is, log into Facebook. I'm sending you over that chat. Oh, it may be inappropriate to some users.
Yeah. Like the instruction video. My god, how would you record, even record that?
Desperate. So yeah, so we're going through both of these things, and you know, one of the questions that keeps jumping out is, why the fuck does anyone want to read this? What's it about these crappy, absolute trash that people like? What would you say, Yama?
Well, I guess what people sort of can sympathise with the stories that you're reading here.
But can they? They're candy, though. Well, how many houses have been burnt down with a picture surviving? I mean, I don't think these are very relatable things. I think it literally is like the Jeremy Kyle effect, which is people that turn down and watch it because at least my fucking life is not this tragic. It's kind of reassuring this way. It's many, in many ways, it's all making people the other so we can all laugh at them.
I don't know if you laugh at people when you read these magazines. It's just like, oh, how sad for them. It's like, my life is all right. What a pity, yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of serves that kind of function, but people absolutely love this. And of course, the taker breaks and the chats are a bit different to the gossip magazines. I think we got to make this sort of distinction, although they're kind of put together most of the time. You know, the gossip magazines tend to be about celebrities and very, you know, supposedly very important cultural people. Well, this is basically about
everyday people, common people's tragedies.
Well, we question how everyday these people are. Anyway, that was a delightful time reading through liquidated, packed, high concentrated sugar garbage in the form of trashy magazines.
Oh, I like your description.
Beyond to me, Yama, did we waste our time? Should we have just sat down and read War and Peace instead of this?
No, I don't think I wasted my time. I had a laugh.
There's always a value in taking the piss out of it, but again, it gets back to the thing, at the same time, this is the same species that can produce the Mona Lisa, it can make the Sistine Chapel.
I wouldn't, with all respect to the writers of Take a Break and Chat, but I don't think they are people that will create anything like that.
Who do you think these people are? I mean, I do wonder, are they like failed writers? Not they sit there going, I wanted to write about the human condition, but it's like, I'm making up shit stories about haunted paintings.
No, but that's, I mean, it's, you probably say I'm insane, but I suppose that's difficult as well, how to write these stories in an interesting way.
True. I mean, it's like I often said, you know, I'd like to be a writer one day. I'd like to be a good one, I'm paid for it.
Maybe you'll start a Take a Break or Chat. I mean, in the end, it's experience in the end.
True, it is experience. It's like the...
So, I mean, you'll learn.
It's like the early days we don't talk about.
Yeah.
It's like I keep saying, I would love to work for the newsroom in the day's sports. Just in terms of bullshit stories they come up with.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening. And if you do appreciate our podcast, or if you don't appreciate a comment a podcast...
Leave us a review.
Please let us know. Post a comment, leave us a review. We'll be very kind and very nice to read. So...
Bye.